Hey, retro lovers. Welcome to the Nostalgia Junkies podcast, where we talk all about pop culture, retro toy collecting, and nostalgia. And now, here are your Nostalgia Junkies.
So I'm Alex.
I'm Joe.
And this is episode 5 of Nostalgia Junkies. So, Joe, you've been on the show now as a consistent co-host for a little bit. And I actually meant to give this to you a couple weeks ago, but I'm an idiot. Because a couple weeks ago was your birthday.
It was.
And you mentioned something the first time that you were on the show, and I found it, and I meant to give it to you, but I'm an idiot. You remember what you mentioned on the first episode? We were talking about a specific animated show of a hero, and you saw something at a comic book shop.
Oh, the Batman anime? No way, dude.
Dude, Batman, all the animated series, all the artwork.
Bro.
Dude, I found it. I know you were talking about it. It's such a cool thing.
This thing has been crazy. It's actually on my my wish list. I put it on for my birthday and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I recently took this off because I was like, you know what? I'm going to hold off on it. But no, this thing is, wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
I thought you would like it. I know that you're a big fan of Batman. You're a huge fan of Harley Quinn. This is the show that she originated in. So I felt like this would just be like the perfect gift for you.
Oh, and the best part is I open it up. I get like Harley Quinn. I get the, you know, the mask of Phantasm. I think by far one of the best Batman stories of all time. Bro, thank you, man.
Dude,
thank
I got you,
man. I appreciate it. Oh.
I think the week that I meant to give it to you and I couldn't find it, Jocelyn hit it. Because Jocelyn saw it and she's like, I want one of these too now. And it's like, I'm sorry, this is for Joe. We bought this specifically for Joe.
Yeah, back away.
Like, this is Joe's present. I'll get you one for Christmas.
Nah, this is awesome.
But yeah.
Damn.
I just wanted to celebrate you being with us for a little bit. And I mean, dude, I've known you for years. So happy birthday, belated early Christmas.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. I really do.
I got you.
This means a lot, actually. I really love this.
No problem, man. Well, you have to go through the book and let me know what your favorite art style or favorite character art was. You know, I know you might think it's Harley Quinn, but maybe you're going to find some like pre-designs. I have no idea.
Surprisingly, it's not Harley Quinn.
Really?
My favorite thing about the Batman animated series is actually the architecture and the skyline.
It's just so iconic.
Just how daunting it is. Just how tall it is. It's just very eerie, but it's also very comforting at the same time. It's really weird, but that's what I always love about the Batman animated series. Just the architecture.
No, I agree with it. I feel like the Batman animated series skyline is just an iconic view.
I feel like people try to replicate it, but they will never be able to do that ever again.
No. And I feel like that's one of the things that we've been talking about all season is that revival, that renewal, that reboot.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that the original was so good is because it's the original. It's the first time we're seeing that. You can never, what's the phrase? You can never capture lightning in a jar.
Never capture lightning in a bottle.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So happy birthday, early Christmas, whatever. Perfect. Thank you for being with us. I saw it and I knew you'd like it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. So our first headline is that Netflix is opening up brick and mortar stores.
Wait. Like a brick and mortar store to sell what?
The article is misleading. They make it sound like they're opening their own version of Blockbuster, but that's not what's happening. What they are doing is they're opening up little experiential stores. You know, the pop-up Stranger Things store.
Yeah.
So kind of like that, but focusing on all of Netflix's IP.
Okay. So it'd be more like where you can get like merch and things like that.
Exactly. You might be able to play some games, watch some shows, get some merchandise. They're calling it Netflix House.
Mm.
Not the greatest name.
The name is lacking. To be honest, they keep locking people out of their own household accounts. So I think it's kind of funny. So
that's where I'm wondering. Like, I know that their subscriber rate did see a little drop, but then it's seen an increase since that. They keep raising the price of their subscription rates. And now they're opening a brick and mortar store. At what point is Netflix just out for money, or are they trying to keep afloat?
I think right now they're trying to keep afloat. I think the subscription numbers have gone up because people have always had these Netflix accounts on their on their TVs. And they're like, you know what? I'll just, you know, get my own subscription for this first couple months and Netflix will fix their thing and it'll be perfectly fine. Netflix, I don't think is ever going to fix it. Like, for example, you know, me and Susan, we have access to account with multiple household, and even we are locked on. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, I feel like Netflix is doing a lot of cash grab type thing, mm-hmm. whereas they shouldn't be worrying about opening up a brick and mortar. They should be making their user experience a little more better.
I agree with that. I think they need to focus on ease of access to the platform.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that's not in their favor is, you know, Disney Plus is owned by one of the largest companies.
Yeah.
Max is owned by, was it all Warner Brothers, AT&T, whatever the conglomerate is now. And you have Hulu, which is also owned by Disney.
Yeah.
So a lot of these streaming services have like big daddy companies behind it. Netflix is Netflix. And I think they're really trying to fight to not sell out.
I feel like they've also invested a lot of money for, you know, there's great content on Netflix. I'm not trying to downplay it, but I feel like out of all the originals, maybe like percentage wise, maybe 5% are hitting, maybe if that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Netflix originals that I just don't even.
They're not great.
They're not great.
But let's go into our next headline. It's actually something we brought up a couple weeks ago. Justin Long Goosebumps series.
Yes.
We're not going to get heavy into it tonight because mm-hmm. the week after this episode is airing is the finale for Goosebumps. And we will be talking all things Goosebumps at a later date in the podcast, either in early December or probably January. But we have two episodes to go as we are recording for Goosebumps. How excited are you for the rest of the season?
See, when you said it was 10 episodes, I was like, oh, I really want to see more. Mm-hmm. And the best part was I was able to binge so much. I think the first night I watched 4 episodes, then I watched 3 the next, and then I just watched the one recently. And it's just like, it's so good. And, mm-hmm. you know, the pacing of the film is good. Like at first, it's very like repetitive a little bit because they're trying mm-hmm. to put all these, you know, pieces of the scene together to make one cohesive story. But once you get like 3 episodes in, it's just, it's amazing.
It is great.
And it all makes sense. Like, I'm not confused about anything. There's a couple of questions here and there I have, but they're so minor. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure it's explained already.
The first episode was interesting. It took a lot to get into, but it did keep you on the edge of your seat. And I will say the way that they've dropped the episodes, any question that you've had has been answered like in the next episode.
Yeah.
It's not like you're waiting for episode 7 or 8 to answer questions from episode 1. They're definitely Easter eggs and things that you're like, oh, that makes this make a lot more sense or adds to this element of the show. Mm-hmm. I went back and rewatched the first 5 episodes after, I think it was episode 7. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. Like, you know what happens episode 7 when they're, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say what they are because I don't want to spoil it. But if you go back, if you watch episode 7, then go back and watch episode 1. And then whichever episode is about James.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense and gives you so much more depth.
So Susan was talking about that. She pointed that out as well. Exactly what you're saying. And I was like, there's so many small little things here and there that you go back and you're like, oh, it was beautifully designed. And Justin Long, like, I think his character has been great. I don't think it's spoiler or anything, but, you know, he's basically playing 2 characters.
He does a phenomenal job.
And it's just amazing. I love it. Like, Justin Long is like, mm-hmm. that man's Mr. Halloween in my eyes at this point. And I will say this, the soundtrack has been fire. And Alex knows me. I don't like talking about music a lot. Music is one of those aspects, you know, he's very into. I support his music and stuff like that. I support my friend's music. And that's as deep as I go into music. Mm-hmm. But damn, bangers after bangers.
Well, I love, it's also not just copy and paste from whatever music has been on the soundtrack. They're remixes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember what song was just in episode 8.
Sweet Dreams Are Made of These.
Yes. But it wasn't the full on.
It wasn't one I could find.
Just little like stinger notes. Very slow, almost like in a minor key where it makes it just like, oh, this is creepy. I like this.
I've been trying to find that exact like song. I even tried Shazam. Shazam couldn't find it. I went under Apple Music. I have the site which posts mm-hmm. all the music that's on there. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting like 2 more days for it to drop. And I'm like, that's the one song I'm just dying to add to my playlist. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have Travis Scott's remix of Goosebumps. Mm-hmm. And just the club mix of it. It was just, it's so good. Especially after the first episode, you got that Goosebumps remix. I don't know about you, but I got like I literally got goosebumps from it because it was just a visual aspect with the musical aspect and there was emotions mixed in. It was just a quality shot scene.
And that's what I like. They've used the drop in the beat effectively in their videography style too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can keep talking about Goosebumps.
I can go forever. On, but we have a whole episode and for that later.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to be repeating myself on that episode, so we're going to cut the Goosebumps conversation here.
I agree completely.
And let's go into this or that. So our first this or that question, Trix yogurt or Go-Gurt? Which would you rather have in your lunchbox as a kid?
As a kid, I want to have the Go-Gurt.
Okay.
As I've gotten older, the Trix yogurt's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very sugary. I'd have to go Go-Gurt, actually. I'm going to go Go-Gurt just on the aspect of if you drop your lunchbox with a Trix yogurt, there's a chance that it's going to bust.
Mm-hmm.
But a Go-Gurt's really just a plastic bag with yogurt and easy to rip.
Yep.
Is suck up the yogurt. And there's always a little window in there that gives you the answer to the joke.
I was going to bring that up. The reveal.
I loved the
reveal. It was so good. I will say that I think the only thing Trix yogurt had on Go-Gurt was better flavors.
Better flavor and better consistency of texture.
Did you ever freeze the Go-Gurt tubes?
No.
It makes it more like a frozen yogurt. It wasn't something you could do for school. But like on the weekend, you take a Go-Gurt tube, you throw that in the freezer, let it sit there for an hour or so, you come back, it was great.
See, I love yogurt so much and I loved it as a kid. I would go through yogurt insanely. So I only had Go-Gurt a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom was like, you know, I'm just going to get this kid at Yoplait. Or was it Yoplait, the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and all that stuff?
No, that was
probiotics. Or
Activia.
Yo, I had so much Activia as a kid, man. Like, this is before Jamie Lee Curtis, but it was just like, I was like, you know, if you're going to eat this, you're going to eat something healthy. So it was always like
female probiotics there, Joe.
Bro, it was good, man. I'd have like three of them a day.
But let's go to the next this or that. Kool-Aid or Hawaiian Punch?
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I feel like that's
Hawaiian Punch it's a liquid, but it's dry.
Yeah.
It never quenched your thirst.
I feel like whenever it came out at a party, I just was like, okay, I'll drink water.
I feel like ultimately it led me to drink water anyway. Like it was always hot. Even if you put it with ice,
mm-hmm.
it was always hot. Kool-Aid, at least that factors. But
and the Kool-Aid commercials were so much better.
Was there commercials for There was Hawaiian Punch. Yeah.
It was the guy who was surfing to like go through the supermarket. Yeah. But
oh yeah.
Those commercials were so much better. Busting through a brick wall. The bits on Family Guy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I love Kool-Aid. And the variety of flavors, their packaging.
I think ultimately, like, what was your favorite Kool-Aid?
Was it the blue raspberry?
Answer was blue. Okay. I feel like with Kool-Aid, you don't need to give it names, too. It's like, I like red.
Dude, some of them just had some random names, like the strawberry drizzle dinosaur explosion.
So you're like, fuck it, I'll drink blue.
Yeah.
Well, blue was good though. I'm not gonna lie.
Blue was great. We still have, remember the little twist top things?
Yeah.
We have those up in the fridge.
Oh.
Great with tequila.
What are you talking about, the Kool-Aid jammers?
No, the Kool-Aid,
little twist
Easy Squirt Kool-Aid.
Easy Squirts?
Yeah. Easy Squirt was ketchup. I
know which one you're talking about. I know.
Yeah, it's like the plastic bottle.
Yeah. They sell that? They still sell that.
Sell that.
Well, I know what I'm drinking after this.
Dude, I have them in my fridge. Of course they sell it.
Yeah,
I've been holding it since 1997.
Hey, I'm hoping like I go in the fridge and I'm just like, yo, they don't exist, Alex. What are you talking about? You're like,
Jocelyn, throw them out. Okay, the last this or that. It is our first triple battle for this or that. Hostess, Little Debbie, or Drake's?
I got to go with Hostess. Hostess is...
Okay.
I feel like it's not as dry as the other one. There's still some moisture when I crack open that wrapper.
So I'm a Little Debbie fan. I love Little Debbie.
Little Debbie's good.
They have the Swiss rolls. They have the Nutty Buddies. They're great. Even the oatmeal. Like, dude.
The oatmeal cookies are pretty good. Oh, the oatmeal cream pies are pretty good.
Drake's doesn't even belong in the same competition. When you're talking about dry, Drake's
what
are
is
dry.
What is Drake made?
Remember the devil cakes? It's like the two chocolate buns with the frosting in the middle. That's the only thing I can think that they make off the top of my head.
But didn't like Hostess end up taking that and redoing it?
A lot of the little cake snack food companies made very similar merchandise. Because Little Debbie had Swiss rolls. I think Drake had Yodels.
Yodels, yep. When you said Drake's, I was like, wait a minute.
It's the duck.
I was like, what is that? And then even the mascot's coming, like, it's drawn up like everyone knows Twinkies and like, you know, Hostess cakes and
I can see it's the duck with the chef hats on it.
Yeah, but how often are you seeing that?
When I go to the snack department and I look at the food, I guess. I never go to the snack department though.
Like I don't go to the snack department. I'm a little
I go to chips.
I go to chips too. But chips have been fucking expensive lately.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, like the prices of chips are like
$5.49 a bag.
Like 2 for $9 or 2 for $11.99. I'm like, what?
But to enter this or that, I think you said Hostess. I'm going Little Debbie. Mm. I got to say, Little Debbie also has great memes with Big Deborah.
It's a little more fun. I will say Hostess has fell off a little bit. Like, I don't remember the last person that ate a Twinkie.
Yeah, no, I haven't had Twinkie in ages. I will say, I think Hostess has more variety. Mm-hmm. I think that the quality of what's good at Little Debbie, like, you know, the Nutty Buddy sticks and the Swiss rolls and the oatmeal cakes.
Cosmic brownies.
Garbage. Yeah. Garbage. Don't bring that. I don't want to hear about that. Cosmic brownies suck ass.
Hold on. Back in the day, they didn't suck ass. Now they suck ass. But back in the day, they were good, man.
I was never a fan. It was too dry for a brownie. Brownies should be moist and crispy.
Although, I like brownies like that, too. But if you're paying like $1 for like a box of like six or eight.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for.
Agreed. I agree with that. You get the quality that you pay for. I feel like the Swiss rolls, the Nutty Buddies, and the oatmeal cakes, you got better quality than what you paid for.
See, I don't like Nutter Butters. So I'm just like,
what?
I love peanut butter. I think Nutter Butters are meh. I think wafer is very meh.
Really? Okay. So, yeah. Then, I mean, if you don't like wafer, you wouldn't like them.
Yeah.
I was like,
I had them before. Like, they're decent for what they are.
As a wafer fan, I think they're top tier.
They're up there.
But if you're not a wafer fan, you're not going to like them. I can hear you on that. I think what we should do is, come our Christmas time episodes, remember the Christmas cakes?
Yes.
We should get a couple of the Christmas snacks and we will try the Christmas snacks.
Yeah, we'll just fuck them up here while we're talking.
But what do you say we get into our meat and potatoes of the episode?
I'm ready for this, man. I'm excited.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Alex here. If you've been enjoying listening to Nostalgia Junkies, you might want to check out some of our other episodes, like our 90s toy commercial review or our top 10 Disney Channel original TV shows. As always, consider dropping a 5-star review and sharing our show to help us grow. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Nostalgia Junkies Podcast for all that extra nostalgic goodness. Now, back to the show.
Let's go.
I'm pumped.
So today we are going to be going over our top 5 sitcom families that we would want to blue skidoo right into. And so you said Blue Skidoo like 3 episodes ago. And when you said that during the middle of that episode, I was already formulating this whole plan for today. Because all I could think of, if you ever watched Blue's Clues as a kid, in Blue and Steve like jump into a painting or jump into something, that is Blue Skidooing. You are jumping right into that scenario. You're not affecting the storyline. You are just a part of the action.
You are one with that.
Exactly. Today's episode is about blue skidooing into a sitcom family. You are going to be the next member of that family. It's not saying who the best dad is, who the best mom is. It's what family you want to be a part of. I'm phrasing that because I'm going to talk about someone who's my honorable mention later, because I mentioned this to a couple friends and I got an earful about this.
Really?
Yep. But we'll do it when we get to our honorable mentions. So my number 5, my personal preference, I would want to be a part of the Barone family from Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's a good one.
So I don't want to be Ray and Deborah's kid. Mm-hmm. I would want to be Ray and Robert's younger brother.
That'd be cool.
Because I've always believed that Frank and Marie were very much like my grandparents. Mm. And if I were Ray and Deborah's kid, Frank would then be my grandfather again. Mm-hmm. I feel like being his son and being Raymond and Robert's little brother, I feel like it would be funny just to watch the dynamic growing up.
Mm.
And I want to be a part of that.
I will say, not on my list, but definitely a good family. Very funny. Very funny. And I like how the older cast members and the older parents are very funny and very youthful as well.
Exactly.
Which is why my number five is I would love to be part of the still standing family, the Miller family.
Ooh.
So.
Good choice.
Still Standing is a show that I used to watch when I used to DVR things and late night. Still Standing was a thing. The parents are very young. They have kids, but they're still trying to hold on to their youth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's them struggling with that. I think that makes more relatable family dynamics where they can understand what I'm going through if I was a kid. But ultimately, I think just the playfulness and the dynamic of all the small little nitty gritty, you know, comments here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that.
No, I hear you on that. So my number four, I wanted chaotic. I wanted a big family. I'm an only child. I was raised by a single mom. I wanted a loud family. I've always wanted a big family, which is why, like, when I married Jocelyn, she has a very Italian family. They're very large, but they're spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with the Lambert Foster clan from the show Step by Step, which, if you've never seen Step by Step, it's basically New Age Brady Bunch. It is a man with his three kids, a woman with her three kids, and they end up getting married. And now all eight of them are living together. And it still hits on all of your common tropes. Mm-hmm. You got the nerd, you got the jock, you got the cheerleader, you got the smart one, like the smart girl, the smart guy, the tomboy. It has everybody. And I feel like jumping into that show would just be an interesting dynamic. I'm like an extroverted introvert where I feel like I could kind of just like hang back and like watch the stuff going on, kind of fly under the radar, and then just like speak up when I need it. But I would love to just like watch the nonsense going on between both sides of my family. Just be like, I'm here for this. This is great, but I'm here.
I feel like it's very entertaining for over, you have everyone actually.
Yeah. Dude, you have three brothers, three sisters.
Yeah.
It is the New Age Brady Bunch of just chaos and misfortune. The only thing I think of a downside of this is the mom and the dad are kind of ditzy. They're not that great. But the thing is, they do love and care about their kids regardless.
That's a great choice.
But they are definitely goofy parent caricatures.
Mm.
Okay, so you're number four. What's your number four, Joe?
So with all the chaos, I'm thinking Home Improvement. The reason why I couldn't put it at the top is because I feel like everything in my house would not work. I feel like
we need more power.
I feel like there's always something happening and I could not handle it. But the different personalities would be great. Like, but I couldn't just wake up one day and there's no hot water. I couldn't wake up one day and next thing you know, like there's no banister on my...
The back of the dishwasher is blown out through the kitchen island.
Right? Like I go downstairs, there's a giant hole in the floor and it's just like, hey, you know, I'm working on it. I'm like halfway through this. I could not do that. But... You know, Tim Allen and, you know, all the characters, they definitely had that home family vibe that I think we all were desperately seeking when we were younger.
I feel like they're, like, again, like you said, they're chaotic, but still functional enough to be a normal family.
Yes.
Like, I feel like the only person who was kind of a caricature was Tim.
Yeah.
Everybody else, like, the boys were normal boys. The mom was a normal mom. She wasn't super crazy. She wasn't reactive to a lot of things outside of the normal realm of, this is how a normal person would react if their husband was dismantling all the appliances in the house.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was one of the great aspects of the show, which is why the Taylor family from Home Improvement is actually my number three.
Really?
Yeah. I absolutely love that show. I think Tim Allen is such a great character and a huge plus. Santa's now your dad.
That's even better.
Right?
Like the best part, I think, of that family was also the blue collar aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just like, hey, you come home and now dad comes home. We eat, we watch TV, we go home. No, this man had to put the work in. This man came in later than everyone, continued on projects for, you know, whatever he was doing, and he kept working and working. And it was very like growing up, you know, both our parents were very workaholics. A whole generation was, I would say. So I think that kind of like gives that homey feeling inside there. And I didn't watch a lot of Home Improvement. Like, you know, I always caught like the tail end of an episode or something like that here and there. I was always skipping through it, watch a couple of things here and there. So I was not an avid watcher, but I definitely appreciated that family dynamic. Mm-hmm. So my number three was Malcolm in the Middle.
Not on my list, but amazing show.
Great cast, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, Bryan Cranston is the father. Hilarious. And I don't know if I would want to grow up in the family. So that's the thing. Maybe I'm not growing up in the family, but maybe I'm like a family friend that's considered like a brother kind of. I'm always there.
Okay.
I leave at night. I come back in the morning. I think the evolution of, you know, all the characters and, you know, Malcolm's finally eventually, you know, learning from his older brother. He's teaching his younger brother. And it was just that middle child syndrome. And as time goes on, it's just, it's very rewarding once you see where you've gone or where you come from and where you're going.
I feel like Malcolm in the Middle was a really good show for like latchkey kids. Like, you know, while one of the parents was there most of the time, the kids were always just kind of allowed to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
It was almost like the live action version of Ed, Edd, and Eddy.
Yeah,
very much. Just kind of hung out in the neighborhood, got into trouble, tried to get out of trouble. This is the episode that always comes to my mind when I think of it, when Reese was fighting the friend that was in the wheelchair. And he's like, I'm gonna make this an even playing field. And like he submerges himself in the ice for like hours. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then he can't get out. And the friend in the wheelchair shows up like in a cyborg suit. Like, I'm ready. I would love... I agree. That show is such a good show. I would love to be a part of that nonsense. I don't know if I would want to be part of that family.
Exactly.
Like, I want to be there. Maybe I want to live next door.
Next door neighbor.
Exactly. But, so my number two, the Banks family, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I would love to be part of that family. The episode when Will's father shows up and then Will's father leaves.
Yeah.
And he's going off to Uncle Phil, but why doesn't he love me? I can't watch that episode. I can't watch that scene without crying.
Yeah.
It hits home for me. And for someone who didn't grow up with a father, I had a lot of father figures in my life, but I didn't grow up with a father. I found that Uncle Phil was such a strong father figure.
Yeah.
That, dude, I would want to be part of that family. The only thing I would find difficult are the siblings.
Yeah.
Like, I love Carlton. Carlton, like, all the siblings have good pros, but they're also annoying. They're so annoying. And I don't know if I could deal with the affluent expectancy that some of them give off. Like, Victoria. In later seasons, she gets better, but, like, right at the beginning, it gets to be a lot. And, like, while it's fun to watch for a show, if that was my everyday,
that'd be a lot.
I don't know if my patients could handle that. However, I feel like having Uncle Phil as Papa Phil would totally balance out that equation. That's the reason why it's so high on my list.
I feel like Uncle Phil was also able to show people that anyone can be a dad, but it takes someone to be a father.
Agreed.
Which is actually why Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is my number two.
Nice.
So
look at that.
I was, when you said Fresh Prince, like, dang, he got it. I think ultimately, this is the family that's going to teach me a lot about, you know, the culture, society, and it's going to ultimately hold me accountable for becoming the person that I eventually grow into. A lot of core values and stuff like that. And you're not struggling at all.
No.
You know, maybe in another aspect of like emotional and social, because all the different personalities, and then you have to deal with Will Smith. But at least it's not Will Smith and Jada. So.
But before we get to our number one, I do want to shout out, we actually put this question up on Instagram about which sitcom would you want to blue skidoo into? And we got a couple of results, but I'm going to read this one, mainly just because I found it to be hysterical, and I've done a lot of thinking on this. Malik Howell 87 noted that the family that he would want to be a part of is the Bundy family from Married with Children.
Yeah. It's a good one, but it's like, it's not the greatest.
I can see the pros because, like, you know, we talked about wanting to be part of the Taylor family, the Lambert family, for its chaoticness.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to be there and, like, see the nonsense going on, that is the perfect family to join.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say that I was reading up on the show again and watched a couple episodes because it's been so long since I've seen it. So there's Al and Peggy, which Ed O'Neill and Katie Sagal. Mm-hmm. I love those two as actors and as voice actors. Great. They're great. The daughter, Kelly, and the son, Bud. Mm. Kelly's kind of a dimwit.
Yeah.
She's pretty, but a dimwit. Bud is the actual one of the family who has a future for himself. He's an antagonist in the early seasons, but he is brilliant. He has a full ride scholarship that's spent by the family. So he then busts his butt to pay for college. So a lot of the problems in the show stem from financial issues.
Yeah.
However, unlike Roseanne and the Connors, where a lot of their financial issues just happened, the house broke, this broke, someone has to go get surgery, someone gets hurt. The Bundy family, a lot of their issues stem from self-created problems.
Correct.
Which, while great for a sitcom, I don't want that as my family. Because I would feel like I would be constantly being responsible for bailing them out.
Agreed. I think they're very irresponsible. They put themselves in situations that aren't great. And as parents, to be frank, why are you putting your kids in certain situations that going to affect them way later on?
You know what Bud is named after?
Is it
Not that Bud.
Oh.
Budweiser.
Oh.
Bud in the Bundy family is named after Budweiser.
Really?
I feel like that kind of just sets the tone for what that joining that family would be like.
Yeah, that family is going to definitely give me anxiety.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I think the Roseanne family. I think it's just a very caring, loving family. Not really much to it. You know, if anything happens, you know, you're getting taken care of, but that's my only honorable mention, but not top five.
Okay, so my honorable mention that, like, I would like to be a part of, and there's just one I want to discuss. Mm. My honorable mention was the Geller family from Friends.
Mm.
I feel like joining the Geller family, like being Ross and Monica's little brother, would be a fun thing. However, we get a lot of their backstory of how Monica was, you know, not the favorite, and Ross was favored because he was the son.
Yep.
I feel like joining that family, you know, I'd be the baby of the family. I would also be favored. So that's just my mindset is like, I would like to grow up in Connecticut still. And I feel like, joining the Geller family would allow me to do that. But I want to mention another show, the Winzo family from Family Matters.
Okay.
I feel that Carl Winslow is by far one of, if not the best sitcom dads.
Mm.
He is great. However, this is the reason why I would not be able to be a part of that family, Urkel. I would not be able to live in that house with Urkel next door and have my father be a cop. He'd be putting his son in jail. I would not be able to live next to that. Great for a 30-minute show, not great to live next door to.
Yeah, it even cracked my list.
Okay.
It was always recommended when I was looking through them. It was always like, you know, top 10, but I was like, nah.
Yeah. So when we do dads, he'll definitely be on my list. But Urkel is the main reason, if not the only reason, why the Winslow family from Family Matters doesn't even crack top 5.
Mm.
So what's your number one?
I tried real hard to figure this out. What I ended up going with is a modification. It's based off a TV show still, but it got redone as a movie when we were kids. Family I am talking about is the Beaver family. So Leave It to Beaver. You're living good, living in the suburbs, you know.
Yep.
Good credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Black cards. Swiping, not having to worry about that. And I think ultimately it was a very homey aspect. You have the hardworking father corporate father. Then you have the loving mother stay at home. You have the friends coming over. Everything just seemed to pop. Flowers just smell good. Mm-hmm. But then you go into town and that's when the wackiness happened. And then even when I go back to like the old Leave It to Beaver from black and white days, mm-hmm. even then, like the vibe was just like a caring, loving family. Yeah, they got into some crazy things and it was mainly the kids. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the parents were actually, in my opinion, probably one of the best parents because they, A, instilled values, held their kids accountable, and ultimately set their kids up for success.
I agree with you. And that's honestly, that feeds into a lot of reasons why my number one is my number one. The Matthews family from Boy Meets World.
Mm. Very popular one.
I would love to just join Corey and Eric, Amy and Alan, Morgan, Joshua, the whole family. Have Mr. Feeney as my next door neighbor. Mm. Mr. Feeney, that character, the way that he was written and portrayed by Bill Daniels, is one of my inspirations for wanting to become a teacher. Mm. This past year, Mom and Jocelyn got me a birthday message from Bill Daniels for my birthday. Mm. And it was, I almost broke down. It was great. I would love to join that family because they tell it how it is. Mm. Like I talked about, you know, Tim Allen being a caricature for a father, the Lambert Fosters from Step by Step being caricatures. Mm-hmm. Amy and Alan, the mom and dad, were written as real parents who were not, they're not jokes. They were serious. They struggled with their daily life. You know, when Alan didn't want to work stocking groceries, didn't want to manage the grocery store anymore. He just didn't want to do it.
Yep.
So he went out and he started a new career. Amy was being a realtor because she didn't just want to be a stay-at-home mom anymore. They actually had good character development.
Yeah.
For the parents, because they let the parents have real lives. And like this is something, I don't know if you've listened to Pod Meets World. It's the podcast from Boy Meets World.
I've heard of it.
When they've had different actors and they talk about the dynamic of the parents on set, they were real parents.
Yeah.
They were allowed to not be jokes. They're allowed to discipline. They held the fort down in those households, the mm-hmm. fictional households.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. You see the struggles. You see the way that Michael Jacobs wrote these characters. I want to be there for that.
Yeah. A lot of these sitcom families, it's mainly about the kids and the interaction and, you know, that one star kind of. So a couple sitcoms that it's more generated on, you know, older characters. For example, you have Tim Allen in Home Improvement. But it's very rare mm-hmm. to have a father and the mother or, you know, two parents as one of the key pieces mm-hmm. of
a well-developed character.
Yes, of a story. And I think from what you're describing, that's something that looking at my list, I don't see a lot of parents. Maybe the still standing family, you know, they were pretty good. And it was kind of like about their struggles here and there, which is very similar. But, you know, it definitely relates to like, I think my top five.
But that was our top five sitcom families. We will do sitcom dads at another date.
That's going to be a good episode.
That is going to be a good episode. Mm. What do you say we get into our trivia and then wrap it up?
My favorite part of the episode, man.
If there is any attempt by either contestant to cheat, especially with my wife, who is a dirty, dirty tramp, I am just going to snap.
I am going to start off with an easy one. It's a math question. Number of Golden Girls plus the number of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Golden Girls. I think there's five of them and then four turtles, so nine?
Incorrect.
Or is it four and four?
Four and four.
Four and four. Oh, originally, I was like, I'm pretty sure there's four of them.
I would actually, and it's funny, reading this card, I would love to see a mashup of Golden Girls as Ninja Turtle.
Betty White would go so hard in that.
Who do you think Betty White would be? I feel like she would be Michelangelo. Like Rose Nyland as Michelangelo.
I'd say Michelangelo. I was thinking Raphael, but no, I think Michelangelo.
I feel like Raphael's like hot spirited attitude.
Yeah.
That would be Sophia. Like the little Sicilian grandmother.
See, I don't know all the Golden Girls. I know. Okay. I know it's Betty White for sure.
Dude, so this quick rundown. It would be Betty White's character as Michelangelo. It would be Rue McClanahan as Leonardo. B. Arthur would be Donatello, and Estelle Getty, hands down, Raphael. Got that hot Sicilian attitude coming through. Hot Sicilian attitude. Raphael, there we go. That's just my mindset. That is how they're going to line up.
I find it interesting you pull that card out, and next thing you know, your mind goes down a rabbit hole.
Dude, it's just where it went, man. I want to see the Golden Girls as Ninja Turtles now. If someone who's listening to this podcast does digital art, please, please, please make that. I will buy it and hang it up here in the basement. We will point it out on the podcast because that is something that needs to exist.
You're about to go on like ChatGPT and put it in there, huh?
Dude, I'm totally going to AI software and just type in Golden Girls and Ninja Turtles.
Well, speaking of math.
Okay.
How many times did Lance Armstrong win the Tour de France?
From 1999 to now, or just...
To now, I guess.
I don't even know. I mean, when did he get ball cancer?
Like 2007, 2008, 2006, maybe?
You know what? I'm just going to throw him six. Six times.
Damn, you're close. Seven.
Okay. I had no clue.
Yeah.
But hey, man, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But let's see if you can find the imposter.
Okay.
Which one of these is not a compliment? Fat, fly, whack, or dope?
I'm going to have to go with whack, my friend.
Yeah, whack is not fly. Whack nor is dope. Not dope, nor is it fat. For the pH. Yep, whack is not a compliment from the 90s.
Not at all.
If your outfit was whack, go home, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we're going back to the 90s, what handy system was added to phone lines that severely hampered prank call attempts in the 1990s?
Star 69. Or caller ID.
Yeah, caller ID.
Caller ID.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ooh. But then you just star 69 and you're good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is the last one I have for you. What lava lamp looking fruit drink hit shelves in 1997 and quickly disappeared due to poor sales? This is actually a drink I'm looking to track down because I want to drink it on the podcast.
I know exactly what you're trying to track down, but I know what it looks like. It's green, right?
There have been green ones.
I've seen the green ones.
There's green ones. There's blue ones. There's red and orange ones.
It's not like plume, is it right now?
Oh. No, not plume. Want me to give you the first letter?
Give me the first letter.
O.
I'm not getting this one. Oogie Boogie?
Not Oogie Boogie. Orbitz.
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 I've seen the bottle. I don't remember the name.
It's like the original boba tea.
It was like tapioca things in there?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. They haven't made it for years.
I haven't seen those things since I was a kid.
So Dinosaur Dracula on Instagram, his whole account is just like devoted to nostalgic food products.
Really?
And this man literally has like soft drink from the 80s and 90s that have not been opened, as well as preserved like Whoppers from every different special.
Wow.
I think the grossest part is how fresh all this stuff still looks. Specialty Whoppers and drinks that came out in like the late 90s.
Yeah.
That were like promotion items are still looking fresh today, over 20 years later.
I've seen pictures of like Whoppers and Big Macs over time, and it's kind of disgusting. But
yeah.
What was the Instagram name for that?
Dinosaur Dracula.
I'm about to check that out. But for our final trivia, in 1999, what team did Wayne Gretzky retire from? What team was he on when he retired?
Oh, I am not the biggest hockey fan.
But I'm already fucking up, bro. I forgot to give you the answers.
Options. They're options. Well, that makes it so much nicer.
Well, you just started talking. I was
ready just to like put out a wild guess there.
If you had to put out a wild guess, what would it have been?
The Boston Bruins.
The Boston Bruins?
I'm guessing that's wrong.
That's not even an option.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, I don't follow hockey. I watch it every now and then.
For a second, I was like, yo, there's no way this man gets it.
Okay.
All right. Let me just name them.
That eliminates some options that aren't even options.
The Edmonton Oilers, the Los Angeles Kings, the New York Rangers, St. Louis Blues.
What year did he retire?
1999. But I don't know how that helps you because you don't know hockey.
I know what it was. I confused the Vegas Knights with the LA Kings. That's what it was. Like, Vegas Knights are a new team. That's like the one thing I know with hockey.
Yeah.
Is that they just became a team. Like, huh, that eliminates that option. But no, that wasn't an option. Okay, so it was Edmonton Oilers, LA Kings,
St. Louis Blues, New York Rangers.
I want to say New York Rangers.
Final answer.
Yeah.
You are correct, Mr. My good friend.
Oh, thank God. I was trying to think of, so I have Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. I think that's what it's called. It's an N64 game. It's basically, you know, NFL Blitz.
Yeah.
It's basically if NFL Blitz was a hockey game.
Really?
It is. And it's hysterical fun. I love it. And he's right on the cover of it. So I was trying to think, what does he wear on the cover of that game? And all I could think of was blue and red. I don't know why I didn't think about that when you first asked me the question, but I didn't. But yeah,
I always think of blue and white when I see Wayne Gretzky, and that's what I think of when I see hockey in general. I think of the white ice, the blue, you know, lines, and I think Wayne Gretzky for some reason.
Yeah, I think going to school in like North Boston screwed me up. It's like now whenever I think of hockey, all I think of is black and yellow.
See, I think of white and blue and Wayne Gretzky.
I should think of blue and green for the Whalers, but
yeah, but then once every often they switch over to the Wolfpack and.
Well, we might be getting the Whalers back. There's a push for Connecticut to get a pro NHL team.
Yeah.
But that will be a topic for another podcast.
For sure.
But I've been Alex.
And I've been Joe.
And thank you for listening to episode 5 of Nostalgia Junkies. And we will catch you later. Peace.
That's all, folks. Thank you for listening to the Nostalgia Junkies podcast. Follow us on social media, subscribe to the podcast, and make sure to never miss an episode. Till the next episode.